Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online. I'm Dominic Booth, joined by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato. As usual, it's going to be a Burnley preview special today. Cardiff, six games to go in the relegation battle. And Nathan and Paul, nice to have you along with us.
Good day.
We'll have to start with some sad news, unfortunately. Former member of this podcast, contributor to this Boot Room show, Steve Tucker, who worked at Wales Online and then The Echo, sadly passed away. So, devastating news. I think he was only about 52. Blakey, really sad.
Yeah, really. Past sad, really. Beyond sad, really, Don. He was... I know he tax could rub people up the wrong way, you know. He was, you either loved him or loathed him when it came to his reporting. But playing for Cardiff myself, never really knew him. Paul was the only reporter I knew, Paul and Rob Phillips at that time. And regardless of whether Paul or Rob would write good things or bad things about me, it never bothered me, never in the slightest. But I know a lot of people used to get upset by what Tux used to say. But
he sound was, of a good journalist.
But he was good at what he'd done, absolutely. He was good at what he'd done. And, you know, in our days where we were recording the podcast live on video, he and I, you know, really got to know each other very well. We used to travel up and down the country to games together. And... I was getting him into the old R&B and soul music, because he's a big Morrissey fan and what have you. But yeah, sad news, Dom. Really beyond sad. Like I said, good guy. If you know him, really good guy. Great character, and yeah, be sadly missed. Be very sadly missed.
Paul,
nothing to add to that. Blake, you summed it up beautifully, I think.
Yep. Well, our condolences to Steve's family, and great to see all those messages from Cardiff fans out there. And
keep them coming, because it means a lot. You know, it means a lot to myself, Paul, yourselves, you know, the paper itself, the organisation, to know that, you know, regardless of whether you think he was controversial or not, you know, he was a Cardiff diehard through and through. So.
Well, as we've seen on so many occasions this season, in previous seasons, the Cardiff City family coming together, as they did obviously for the tragic Emiliano Sala situation. Trite as it may seem, we do have to move on. Let's talk about Cardiff's next game, which is a big one, of course. Burnley didn't exactly help Cardiff out by beating Bournemouth, or Bournemouth didn't exactly help Cardiff out, did they, Blakey?
And you know, to go 1-0 down, you have to say to that, I always say, give credit where it's due, Dom. No, you have to tip your hat to boys like that. But we've said time and time again on this podcast, they're the type of team that can go to Liverpool and win, you know, go to Manchester United and win. They've got it. They've got that experience. And I think that's what is showing at the moment. I was hoping that because they'd had such a long season, they would hit a brick wall right about now. But they seem to have regathered some
momentum. They've rallied, haven't they, one more time.
Again, they've gone again, which you can only say, you know, is their spirit is fantastic. You have to admire it for what they're doing. But, you know, it's not over. I think that result was a real, you know, killer blow, really, to Cardiff Burnley, or Cardiff catching Burnley. You're now looking at Southampton. And again, they look very good against Liverpool. You know, yes, lost the game, but look very, very good. So you think to yourself, they're more Brighton. Brighton look good in their game. So listen, for me, it's a case of Cardiff. The only way Cardiff stay up now is by going to those four teams out of their six games.
Yeah. Four of the winnable games that we would call.
And winning all four. And ended up on, 40 points.
It's ironic that at the start of the season, when all the teams were bunched together, we thought it's going to be a low points tally. It'll keep you up 30, 33 points.
Yeah.
Cardiff on 28 now, and they're five points adrift.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how it turns. And, you know, I thought, I was one of them, I thought it'd be about 34, 35 this season. And it turns out it's probably going to be 38, 39 again. Do you know what I mean? Which guarantees you safety. Palace, I think, just went to 39.
You didn't predict that one, did you?
No, they're the unpredictables, isn't they? But them getting to 39 as well. I just think for us, if we go down, I would say a lack of Premier League experience throughout. A lack of goals has been a problem. A lack of ball possession has been a problem. And conceding too many goals the other end. It's kind of like you don't score enough and you concede a lot. You can get away with not scoring, but having a lot of clean sheets. And Cardiff have had, I think, what,
eight clean sheets.
Clean sheets.
Yeah, which is impressive.
But they've still conceded 50-odd goals, 60 goals,
yeah.
Which is probably top two, maybe top three worst in the league. So, you know, you've got to approach it one way or the other. You have got to say we're going to be very defensive and stop the goals going in. If we lose, we lose by the odd goal, and work on that. We've said all season, work on that counter-attacking offensive side of the game. Or you have to maintain better possession of the ball and outscore your opponent. And I think we've been caught in between two stalls most of the season for me.
Yeah, definitely. It's not over, of course, just yet. Although, Paul, speaking to Neil Warnock as I was this morning, he said he named Brighton as the team that Cardiff City can look to overhaul. And obviously that game next Tuesday night at Brighton is going to be vital. Do you see it like that, or do you think there are other teams? I'm looking at you for the positive ray of sunshine here, Paul.
I know, it's... I think I don't totally rule out Burnley yet. I think that was a killer blow last week, by the way. But if Cardiff can go there and win, Burnley have got four really tough games left. And I know you say that they can go to Liverpool, but you know they've got to play Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, I think it is, and Everton away.
Yeah.
And it's conceivable they could not pick up anything there. Basically, Cardiff have got two season-defining games coming up. They've got Burnley away and Brighton away, back-to-back. Saturday and Tuesday, and those matches will define the season. It's asking an awful... I mean, we've targeted, haven't we? Four games Cardiff can win, Blakey. We think they can win Burnley, Brighton, Fulham away and Palace at home. Mm-hmm. And the other games are Liverpool and Man United. You're asking an awful lot to expect Cardiff City to win two of those games away from home, let alone...
I think if you looked at the season...
Four games in total.
They've won two or three, maybe, out of those kind of a games. They've won probably a 50% share of those kind of games.
You know, if they can go to Burnley and win and go to Brighton and win, it changes all the dynamics again.
Mm-hmm.
Southampton have got, on paper, the easiest run in. Brighton have actually got some really tough fixtures left, but they've got a game in hand as well, and... They're hard to beat at home. It's. We'll know more by the time the next podcast is done, because it will be after those two matches and they will define Cardiff's season, I think.
Well, if they're going to define Cardiff's season, then Cardiff need to obviously get the formula right in both games, which they haven't always done. We spoke about that before.
They will define the season because they have to win the games. Not only to get their own points tally, but to stop those two...
Moving ahead by further points.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Blakey talks about getting more goals. So how do Cardiff get more goals?
Cardiff could be relegated by the end of that second game, by the way.
In effect, yeah.
So how do they not be relegated by the end of those two games? What's their plan, as you often say?
Well, you're at the stage now where, you know, you have to look at how you've played different times, what's got you your best results, how you've got those best results, who the personnel have been. Listen, there's been, as you alluded to just now, there's been mistakes, in my opinion, made when, you know, certain players were not selected. But then we found out later that certain players might have been injured or carrying something or something else. So, you know, you have to say, to this point, it's been... No, I'm not going to sit here and say it's been a great season. I'm going to say... it's been better than a lot thought it was going to be, right? We thought we could have a decent season and had a chance of staying up. Outside of this room, you know, fans met. Very few thought. They thought we would be in Fulham or Huddersfield position by now. So to get to this point, it's not an achievement, but they've done okay. But like I always say, Dom, you know, if Premier League is where you want to be, and ultimately, as the capital city and our fans, it's where they want to be. You can't think, right, we've been there, we've got a divine right to go down to the Championship and go back there. You know,
it doesn't work like that.
5 years the last time we were there. You know, we've got to, you know, when you get there, you've got to have a plan that keeps you there in a sustainable way. You know, I'm not saying blow banks or anything like that, but I think if we go down, we've got to be so much better than coming back up. I had this on Saturday, and someone said, you know, keep Neil Warnock, you know, bounce straight back. Well, number one, there's no guarantee of that. Number two, you're back then into the same position you were 12 months ago. Now, if Neil then stepped down and you move forward, the succession planning needs to be now for what happens if you go down, what happens if you stay up, and if you go down, when you come back up, how is this going to look? Because my fear with Cardiff is there's not enough knowledge, not enough football knowledge at the club. And, you know, just don't forget, this whole last 2.5 seasons has largely been down to Neil Warnock coming in with his team and doing something that none of us thought was possible, basically. So when he leaves and his team leave with him, what's left in place? That is my worry.
Well, the Cardiff heading towards, even if they stay up, maybe we could maybe see a situation where Neil Warnock leaves, and even if they go down, Warnock has said he'll do whatever Vincent Tan wants him to do. But what is Cardiff's future next season, up or down? Do you see Warnock staying at the club?
Their plan, Blakey, I mean, if I've got a criticism of Neil Warnock, it's this: that there was a mantra given once Cardiff won promotion and this season that if we go down, we come straight back up. Burnley did it. We'll have a squad good enough to have another crack at it. But I look at, so that is their plan, I suppose. That was their plan, albeit a short, very, very short-term one. Mm. But I look at that, I mean, we know what the Championship's like. We've watched Cardiff in it enough, you know, that, you know, you can go to Rotherham and lose on a Tuesday night, or lose 3-0 at Preston on a Wednesday night, whatever. But I look at the Championship this year, and I look at what, by Championship standards, star-studded squads.
Quality,
at,
isn't it?
At Stoke, West Brom, Aston Villa, none of whom are going to get automatic promotion for one reason or another.
So they'll be there next year.
I look at Nottingham Forest's squad, really good squad of players, nowhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can go on, couldn't you? Middlesbrough,
so you can keep going on. And so this theory that, well, you come down with a Premier League, in inverted commas, squad, and you can come straight back up, it doesn't work.
No.
It won't work. And so if I've got a criticism, it's that I thought there was a little bit of a defeatist attitude in terms of, well, Burnley did this and then came back up, and that's what we can look to do. Now, maybe Neil Warnock would say, hang on, that's realism as opposed to defeatism. But
what, that bouncing back straight?
Yeah, so I would always, if we come down, we come back up.
I think in Premier League history, it's probably been done 4 or 5 times, maybe. I'm guessing. I know we done it at Bolton once. I know Burnley have done it.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often.
No, it just doesn't happen often.
Time and again, Neil was using Burnley as the analogy, as the template for Cardiff. And, you know, I come back to it. You look at the talent in some of those teams that are nowhere near the top two.
And look how long it's taken Burnley to get to. You know what I mean? And you would say right throughout, because I always say, Paul, it's not just about the first team, it's about the foundations beyond that. It's behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Academies, commercial revenues, the whole shebang. How is it all working? Who's putting it together? Now, someone said on Saturday, oh, they need a director of football. Well, fine. Director of football comes in and deals with people who haven't got a clue about football. or everything that's there. Academy's not producing players. I haven't produced players for a decade, right? No Welsh, no Cardiff boys from Cardiff through into the Welsh squad. Hasn't been for a very long time. So you've got to look at this and say, right, is this like you've gone to the Premiership, a flash in the pan? Or is it something bigger and greater, that something is being built underneath that is going to come to fruition over the next 2 or 3 years? And I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think I can look at it and go, well, the building blocks are in place underneath, it's going to come and it's going to be a bit of a monster in the next 3 or 4 years. I think I'm totally unsure about what happens after the Warnock era. And a director of football, they think clicking your fingers and it's going to fix everything, well, then you're sadly mistaken.
But I think at the moment, as we speak, at this moment in time, the future has to be the Premier League. Right, they've got these season-defining games, and by hook or by crook, they've got to try.
But even then,
they've
Paul,
got to try and win these.
Even
games,
then, you've got to look long term. If Cardiff stay in the Premier League absolutely. This season, by hook or by crook, they're probably going to be in a relegation battle next year. And absolutely. They need to find a way of over the years growing out of that.
I think for the time being, the focus needs to be on these two games.
Here and now,
I really do.
Well, that's what Warnock's strength is, isn't it?
So we go back to what you said, you know, about 5-10 minutes ago, which was, how can Cardiff score the goals to win the games, or what's the lineup?
We'll go back to this new Marnias versus Kenneth Zahor debate,
Well, I'm beginning to think something radical might need to happen. To the answer to the question is, by the way, first of all, keep a clean sheet, right? Which is easier said than done, away from home. But I'm now beginning to think something a little bit more radical needs to happen, because they have, you know, the cliche must win. These are must win games for Cardiff for the reasons we've said. Draws, even draws, you would argue, are not good enough, because it means Brighton and Burnley keep the gap, and Cardiff have got to close that gap on them. And winning the games obviously changes the mindset then for Liverpool at home, Palace at home, Fulham away. Suddenly there's extra belief.
It's not radical.
I've just jotted it down. I would go 4-3-3. I would change it around. I would play Zahor and Nias up top together.
You 4-4-2, you mean?
No, 4-3-3, because I would have Murphy as a sort of as an old fashioned sort of winger as part of that to provide the service. So I'd go Camarasa, Gunnarsson and Arthur in the midfield. I'd have Murphy out wide, and I'd have Zahor and Nias up top. And yes, that doesn't give you width on the other side of the pitch that Murphy is not on, but I just think something different needs to change now. I really do.
Can I immediately counter that? Again, referring to my chat with Neil Warnock.
Yes, I have it.
He said that's
put the gloves on, fellas.
Two up top's not going to happen, basically. Because they played it at Wolves, and the Assens all played together at Wolves, and it didn't work at all. It was pretty disastrous that day. They tried to play Reed in the 10 behind two strikers, and it didn't work.
That was a poor defensive display. That wasn't.
It was also a non-existent attacking.
It was, but you're playing against a team traditionally who play counter-attack football, but they killed you for possession.
And I'm not saying
possession has been it's 9/10 of the law for me. If you can't score without the ball.
I'm not saying play Reed at 10. I think that is the fundamental error in that lineup. I would play a proper three-man midfielder, Gunnarsson, Arthur and Camarasa.
Like a lopsided, call it a lopsided four.
Yeah, and right? Murphy.
So three with one advance.
Murphy is a wide player.
You know, right, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think there is goal
Paul,
power.
I look at that and I think that's not a bad lineup, right? Because I think to myself then, if you looked at that, what I would have liked to have seen, and everything's great in hindsight, but, you know, Nias can play right or left, you know, and you can work on that front three with, say, Camarasa joining them, where they rotate into different positions.
Yeah.
They don't know. Murphy can end up as a 9. Zahor can end up as an 11. Nias can end up as a 7. It doesn't have to be, like,
rigid.
So rigid, you know, and again, there's something that
I
think going forward we need to improve on.
See, I think that Camarasa, Gunnarsson and Arthur could provide control in midfield that you need, and I think that a front three of Zahor, Nias and Murphy, that's a pretty quick front three to be playing away from home, isn't it? There's a lot of directness there, and something just needs to change.
It'll be interesting, I think, the Burnley
Zahor, Nias and Murphy. Hoylett?
No, I would have Murphy as the winger, to be honest here.
Okay.
I'm happy with Hoylett.
Zahor, Murphy and Hoylett. So you're looking at...
No, it's a Horton, Nias and Murphy.
You have to play Nias.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you have to play Nias down the middle. I genuinely do. I don't think Zahor, we said it before, Blakey, doesn't offer enough in terms of working the channels, and that's what Cardiff need, because as Blakey says, Cardiff don't have the ball.
Yeah. So what's the Nias debate?
Well, please.
I know you're
you and I, Blakey, seem to be the only people sticking up for poor old Umar.
That's not true.
Well, you have as well, Paul, in fairness. There's a lot of people calling for Zahor to come in for Nias, basically, which... As we've said, I'm not sure what Zahor's merits.
Can I just tell you why that is?
You're always better when you're on the bench.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You're always people, and it's people's desperation to hold on to what we've got and try and stay in the Premier League and think, right, just chuck him in, maybe it'll work, because you kind of already made up your mind that Nias isn't going to get you the goals you need. Because it doesn't matter now. It's the work rate. Nias works fantastically well. Runs the channels. Blah blah blah.
People don't care about that now, do they?
No, they just want winning. They get the best chance. Does he give you the best chance of winning? You and I and Paul might say, well, yes.
But that's based on his overall game.
Work rate. Yeah. But in another sense, no. But then Zahor. You go to Zahor and you say, well, does he give you the best chance of winning? In some senses, yes, and in other senses, no. The yes is if Zahor returns to the form of 18 months ago, 2 years ago, then yes, it gives you a great chance of winning. The Zahor of largely last season and this, no. But can you pull it out of the bag? Well, we'll never know unless he plays.
And that's my point, Blakey, that Burnley's win at Bournemouth, which I wasn't really expecting, right? Burnley's win has changed the mindset for me, right? It now is win or bust. It's all or nothing.
Absolutely.
It has become all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That win, if they'd lost at Bournemouth, I said, no, Gunnar can do a holding job, stick with the normal formation, Hoyt and Murphy wide, Cameras are just behind, or Reid just behind, yes, whatever. But that win has changed the dynamic.
You're just trying to throw a surprise
in there anyway. Just because Cardiff need to win the game doesn't mean they're going home.
Cardiff have got to do something a bit more radical now, and I just think that there is more goal threat, with threat being the operative word, I accept that, but there is more goal threat stroke hope with Zahor and Nias up top together than there is playing the...
Here's one for you then. Would you take out one of the three, or two of the three, just play Gunnarsson as a holder and play someone like a Reid as a number 8,
I'd like to see Reid in.
And Hoylett on one side, Murphy on the other side. Do you understand what I mean?
I totally get that logic, but radically for goals
because it's goals what you ultimately going to keep you.
I just think
you'd be better losing 4-3.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I just think that the selection I've suggested there with Cameras and Gunnarsson Arter as proper 3-man midfield is more likely to offer you control in midfield, which you also need.
Absolutely.
I think the one, it would be too much of a radical step to go
Blake,
the other
I like
way.
That, Blake. So talk us through that, because I think that could work. What you're saying, Reid and Cameras as almost dual number 10s.
Yeah.
And they're two wide men.
Yeah.
And one up top.
Yeah, Gunnarsson. I mean, if not... Okay, you might say I wouldn't start with it. You might say I'd start with a solid, Adda, Gunnarsson and Camarasa. But I'm thinking, like, time for 3-man midfield now is kind of like over. Do you know what I mean?
You mean in the modern game or just...
No, for us now. In the modern game is what I believe in.
Yeah,
it's what I believe in. But you need goals.
Yeah.
That's where we are now. We need to win games. Yeah. It doesn't matter. We'd be better winning 5-4. Yeah. Than losing 1-0 and going, we were unlucky. We'd be back. It's all about, I agree with Paul, that it's all about, there's no, a point is good here, a point is, listen, you've got 6 games left.
Yeah.
You lose the next 2 or don't win the next 2 and it's over, because you're not going to get much out of Liverpool. You're not going to get much out of Man United. So effectively, you've got 2 games after that, 6 points, and you're already 5 points behind right now. So, you just got to go for it. It sounds radical.
But to tap into Neil Warnock's thinking, he'll be saying, well, our best chance is to conserve for the first 60, 70 minutes or whatever.
And
then maybe
late.
What you say, bring someone on, nick something late. You probably don't... doesn't want to the open problem himself is, up. Dom,
if we imagine if roles were reversed and we had the home games against the next two teams coming up there, we'd be saying we're at home, we've got our fans, we if we get that momentum, our fans behind us, we become really hard to stop. Flip it. We're not at home, we're away. You know, Burnley, very good team. Yeah, on paper, probably a better man-for-man team than us. Yeah, on paper. And you say, right, at home, crowd behind them, momentum, some great wins they've picked up. You know, really, the chances of Cardiff going there and winning, they're not high.
No.
You know,
so that's why you need to.
You've got to. I'm just saying, you know, this is something that you probably, if you're Neil Warnock and his team, you sit down, you debate over the last week until early hours of the morning, because you're just looking for anything and you're thinking, right, how can we approach this game and throw something different at it?
So, why would you, Dom? Because in terms of the personnel, I think you would agree with every player I've picked, bar one, yeah? Why would you be against the normal back four and the midfielder Camarasa, Gunnarsson and Arta, Zahor, Nias and Murphy? Why would you be against that?
Because I think that you need to find a way of getting Bobby Reid in the team, and I don't care how, really, whether he plays on a wide right role.
We'll put Bobby Reid up front with one of Zahor or Nias then, but I'm saying that two need to be up front now to provide more of a goal threat.
Cardiff play well with two up front, and haven't done since Neil Warnock has been at the club, really.
Mm. It's because they leave him with two in midfield, effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't dominate the ball. Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, we've said since day one, you know, possession. If you're not going to have possession, then you have to work on, like Wolves do, sitting in, but being able to counter-attack. Now, what we define that Cardiff have is pace. Zahor got great pace. Murphy's got great pace. Hoylett's got great pace. Nias has got great pace. Mendes Lang has got great pace. So you've got, you know, it's disappointing for me that I haven't seen that side of us develop then, where I think, God, we are so dangerous on the counter-attack, you know? And I think we've got the players and the ability to do it.
I don't see why a midfielder, Camarasa, Gunnarsson and Arta, can't control possession. Like, I know it doesn't happen. It's not just about those, it's about your defenders have to be comfortable on the ball as well, isn't it?
So your fullbacks have to push.
I remember the opposition have players as well. They're wanting to do the exact same thing. And I think the problem would be, Paul, not that I agree with what you're saying, but the problem would be, because they've never played it or tried it or practiced it, if it doesn't work in the first 10 minutes, it doesn't work, you can see it. And then that's when the manager's going to have to swallow his pride and go, right, revert back to what we normally do. Do you know what I mean? Because whenever Cardiff have tried something slightly different this season, it hasn't really worked. Do you know what I mean? I don't think our thing is going man for man, follow people around the pitch and just play kind of a man for man style football. Do you know what I mean? It's not really, you know, we've got plan A or plan B, or today we're going to go with the back three and, you know, Bobby Reid is going to be the runner who's going to, you know, stretch in behind and, you know, that's going to be the ball that Bennett and, say, whoever's playing right back, let's say Peltier, is going to, you look for him 9 times out of 10, and then from there, Reedy, we're looking to get it wide and back in the midfield and then make sure we've never really had those patterns of play. I've been saying it all season. Patterns,
it goes back to long term, doesn't it?
Patterns of play, which you get used to. And I just think, you know, we find ourselves now at the edge of the cliff. Simple as that. You know what I mean?
Make or break time.
Yeah.
Right. Get us onto Brexit there, from there.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't dare get us onto Brexit. We'd lose all our listeners.
WTO rules and all that. They'd all say, no, I can't take no more.
Will Cardiff leave the Premier League without a deal? Is the question.
The point I'm making is right, though, I think, that Bournemouth has changed that mindset for me, and something more different now needs to be approached.
The word is different. The word is, even if you start the same, you've got to have something in your locker that's going to surprise the opposition. So I would understand completely Neil Warnock saying, listen, we're going to play this up to 65, 60, 65, 70 minutes, and then I'm going to try and nick it in the last 20. Do you know what I mean? 25 minutes
of injury time. Have tried that all season. When they go a goal, two goals down, like they did.
That is the problem. Yeah, that's the problem.
They concede early goals that they've done away from home and it's game over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would say once you concede a goal, you've got to be able to... But you practice those things, Paul. You practice like going down to 10 men. You practice, you know, what this is our game plan. However, if someone slips and makes a mistake or scores an own goal and we're 1-0 down the first 10 minutes... We're going to switch to, because we need to get the game back, we need to get the goal back. So, whether.
I think Warnock substitutions those things have happened, been we don't know. Season, if I was to criticize been,
you're only saying that because you're leaving, Dom.
Neil, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
Dom and I have spoken about that. We've predicted them pretty much every time, haven't we, Dom?
We play a little
they're,
game.
They're very like for like substitutions, yeah. Right? And maybe that's because Cardiff have to play a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, but we tend to. We tend to predict them, and we get them spot on most of the time, don't we?
I honestly.
So I don't think that you've got to try something different, radical thing. That hasn't been evident this season in terms of changing the game plan around. I don't think.
I'll still maintain. I think we could have been better, right from the get go.
Yeah.
No, we're not talking in the past tense. We're not down yet, but.
Well, it remains.
We said it on the boot room since day one. Cardiff need to get more possession of the ball. Remember at Bournemouth.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, that was when it was clearly evident.
It's a long time ago. It was right. Down on the Dean Cup.
It was clearly evident that Cardiff need to learn tricks of the trade, need to be a bit more clever on how they approach the game, and need more possession of the ball because, you know,
if they can do a little bit more of that over the next six games, then who knows? But
it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. We'll have a quick break and then we're going to do a bit of Ask Blakey.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
There's a couple of ones here, Nathan, that have made me laugh. Not so much questions, but more hopes. Steve Reese says,
"All right, Stevie
Blakey,
boy.
Are you still fit enough to dust your boots off and bang some goals in to save your club from relegation?"
I wish I was, Steve. I really do wish I was, honestly. I really wish I was.
On those same lines, Andy Stevens says, how many goals would Blakey have scored in this team this season?
I think I would have got to at least double figures.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think I wasn't... Do you know, like, I look at Zahor, and I know he's the type of player that you don't have to have someone... passing the ball across the six-yard box for you to score.
Yeah.
You're not that type of striker. You've got many attributes to your game. Me, I think I would have got...
Well, if you get a consistent run of games in this team and...
Well, not just that. I would have been screaming at people to make sure they put the ball in the box more as well. You know, I would have looked to link, especially with someone like Camarasa. I would have worked with him in training one-on-one on runs that... Just look out for this. When I do this to you, this is where I'm going to go. So just look to put me in. Even if it's impossible ball, just look to put me in. All right? So I don't know. I keep saying, Dom, I see things and I think, I don't know how much it's all clicked, to be fair. Because I've not... Camarasa got the ability to put on a sixpence.
Yeah.
Yeah? But I don't see him putting... balls on a sixpence for strikers.
We might see more of him doing that for another team next season, which would be a shame, wouldn't it? Because I think teams are interested in him, and you can see him fitting into a higher calibre of team.
Yeah, but good question, Steve.
It is a good question. I'd like to see it. What about this one then from Mark Gerald, who says,
"Hi, Mark.
Good question, I think. Is there any chance that Etheridge will stay if Cardiff go down, or do you see him moving on?"
I think he's had a great season. I still think in Monday football, he needs to improve his feet. I don't care what anyone says to me. And if he doesn't go, I think that would be the biggest reason why. So he's a 50-50. But when you move, you probably go for money. Not massive dough, but big dough in the scheme of things. Pressures change, mate. You know, pressures change. All of a sudden, that kicking becomes a severe burden. if it's not up to scratch in a team where they expect you to play a lot more than they are at Cardiff. Because even if you go to Burnley, Brighton, they play more football than Cardiff do at this moment in time. So
you can't fault a shot stopping, can you, Etheridge?
No. But there's many keepers like that. I could go down to League Two and say there's some quality keepers who can great shot stopping. I look at Joe Day at Newport, great shot stopper with his feet coming for the ball, not as great.
Yeah,
improvements to be made. You know, so
also needs to command his box better.
O'Neill.
Well, I think he's been all right from that point of view.
Too many crosses come across that six-yard box for my liking.
Yeah, I think Cardiff's defending of set pieces has been way off what I would have expected, personally. I don't know if that's down to Etheridge or Morrison or whoever.
It's the modern-day mantra with goalkeepers. They tend to be what we call liners in the game, but you know, I prefer, you know, if a cross is coming across your six-yard box, go and punch it away.
Did you see what's his name for Man City yesterday?
Edison.
Yeah, in the Champions League, crosses coming in, like he's already read it, like second before the lad's pulled his foot back, he's on his way, and the one he's come taken out the air, and then his own player has hit him, and he's flipped over.
Do you know who's good at that? Wayne Hennessy when he plays for Wales. Not so much when he plays for Palace, stays on his line. When he plays for, comes out and commands that box, and gives you so much belief as fans, and it must do as defenders when that happens.
What about this one? I'm going to slightly amend Mark George's question.
Give us Mark's question.
This is his question. If Cardiff go down, can we expect a busy transfer window? I'd slightly change it to what will happen in the transfer window if Cardiff go down. Do you see mass exodus? Obviously, Aaron Gunnarsson is on his way.
It's not like we've got players who
he's a disgrace. He's a Swans fan who works the office. Every time he walks past our room, he just puts his thumbs down.
He's a little Cliffy. Yeah. I'm going to put him in a box later and post him to Swansea.
Call him out by name.
Sorry, mate. What was your question?
Well, what will happen if Cardiff go down in the transfer window? Obviously, the loan players will depart. We talked about Etheridge. Yeah. Gunnarsson is on his way, but you don't see too many leaving other than that?
No, I don't see Premier League clubs coming in and raiding the treasure box, so to speak. I think what you look at is probably a very good Championship team. You know, you don't look at it and think, you know, he could play Premier League, I think Camarasa, who's on loan, so that's immaterial. Hoyler, I don't think he would get picked up by Premier League teams. Mendes Lang, I don't think would get picked up. Murphy, I don't think would get picked up by Premier League teams.
Bruno Manga, maybe?
I would say probably Manga is probably the one. He's him and Etheridge have had great seasons, you have to say. Very good seasons. And Bruno wouldn't, like I've said before, Bruno wouldn't look out of place if he was playing alongside playing in Bournemouth's back line, something like that. You know, they've just picked up Mepham, who's struggling at the moment. Mepham is, you can see he's struggling to adapt to the pace of things. So, you know, someone like Bournemouth, you know, someone like that, mid-table, Watford, you know, top 18. Would Bruno look out of place playing? Can he play in that team, step in and step up with better players? Well, yeah, he's clearly one of Cardiff's best, so...
I know Paul's got a suggestion for this question, haven't you, Paul? I thought you were going to say Joe Bennett.
I think Joe Bennett could play for one of the teams that comes up, potentially. Could be a target, but, you know.
I would say,
you know,
Cardiff haven't potentially used Bennett to his full capabilities. I think he could be a more rampaging, attacking fullback. From my point of view, but yeah, we know that Cardiff don't do that.
Well, we've said it, and we don't know whether he's not encouraged to do it enough, or he just, again, like Zaha, you're waiting for something to happen and it's not happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just don't know. That's the beauty of being inside the dressing room rather than outside.
I think what would worry me about Bruno Manga, and I think he's probably been Cardiff's best player this season, actually. For me, he just edges Etheridge, but I think what would worry me about him would, despite all his outstanding sort of performances, it's the more negative things you remember that stand out. And the way Delafoe just left him standing in centre circle for that goal he scored for Watford. I can't remember if it was his second or his third goal. I mean, that Bruno looked leaden-footed at that point.
He's just in a bad position.
Do you think he just his body?
His body position was all wrong. He was coming forward. It's like a boxer who's throwing a punch, yeah, hooking as you're throwing a one straight down the pipe. It knocks you out cold one down the pipe. Why? Because your momentum is all coming forward. Bruno was coming forward square on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a box. Yeah. And De La Feo was in flight on his way. And he's quick enough, as you've seen on the weekend, he's quick enough to race Bruno if they were on a straight flat.
Yeah.
Foot for foot race. So I wouldn't hold that against him, Paul. I understand it, but I wouldn't hold that against him. I just think if he was playing alongside Nathan Ake, would he be as good up there with Nate? I think, yeah, he probably would. He would step up again. Because, you know, he's an international player.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to think, largely part of this season, he's been player of the season playing out of position.
Yeah.
You know, we've forgotten that now. He's in the centre-back position. But we forget, three quarters of this season,
we spent half our podcast talking about how he shouldn't be playing right back.
Right back, right. So there's another string to your bow, though. If you're being picked up by a Premier League team, you're not only a very good centre, he's athletic, he's good in the air, he's good quick defender, enough overall. And he's a good defender overall. So, you know, I would say he's probably the one person, if someone comes, what Cardiff shouldn't do is just say, yeah, we'll take £5 million. I don't know, in today's market, he's worth, like, you know, probably £12 million, £15 million quite comfortably. So don't undersell yourselves, you know, get the deal right if he goes, and then reinvest it into the Championship, because, you know, that's if you go to the Championship.
Well, I was going to say, I need to cover Mark's question with another balanced version, which is what happens in Cardiff's transfer window if they stay up? What needs to happen, Nathan?
Okay, so if I'm technical director at Cardiff now, which is like...
Not an application.
No, thank you. You would look at Cardiff and you would say, well, you're looking at the Championship or Premier League. Yeah, if you stay in the Premier League, you've got two good keepers. Remember that.
Yeah.
You know, we signed a good keeper who's not even been spoken about this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You need, for me, you definitely need a right fullback.
Right? We've said that for a while.
You find that nothing changes here. You're just going to say what we've said all season.
You need a centre midfielder who can boss the game, and you need a striker who can score goals.
Well, you need not just that. You need to change. For me, we need to change how we play. We need to improve how we play. We need to improve our ball possession. I keep saying it, and I won't stop saying. Even in the Championship when we went up, say we need to improve our ball possession. We need to be able to cope with things like rotation against us. We need to be able to rotate. We've got, you know, it's all done on the training ground. But you're going to buy players, you're buying, what, defenders who can defend but can get forward if you're looking at fullbacks. Solid centre-backs, you're looking for that experience, that knowledge, that leadership qualities. Strikers, you need more than anything, you need a striker that can get you 25 goals.
It's feasible Cardiff could lose their entire midfield in the summer, basically, at the moment.
Yeah, very true.
So that's maybe three signings that they'd have to get right in order to implement what you're saying about keeping the ball better. Yeah. They got in three players who could really keep the ball and boss the game.
Yeah.
And that helps.
It does. But, you know, you resign to losing Gunnison, right? So you go out, you scour Europe, Africa, South America, for that midfielder who can hold and control a game, right? And they're out there. I've seen them. A goal scorer, the boy Moise Keane, I mentioned him.
Well, he's pre-Christmas. He's flying for Juventus.
Right, you know, these players like that.
Blakey Scout Report,
I think. Right, well, I've got another 100 of them, mate, but it's not my job, it's not our job on the boot room to do the club's work. Do you know what I mean?
Just out of interest, how much did Decore cost Watford?
Not a heck of a lot, but he's going to go for about £40 million.
No, but so I didn't know if they'd spent a lot of money on it, but there's
an
example.
Came from Ren.
Yeah, well,
there's an example.
There's a great example, Paul.
Brilliant.
So I got contacts in places like South Africa, Mark Fishman or me. Yeah? You go South America, you go Europe, Italy, France, you know, not the Premier League teams, not the Liga teams. You look, you scour, you look at under 21 players, you know, Basel, places like that. And they're out there. You just need to have a plan to fit it all together. Do you know what I mean? You've got to know what you're looking for, how you want to play. I always say in relation to the fans you have, made this point, Cardiff are very much like a Chelsea. They want to see very good football at pace.
That's football,
but you've
got
to be tough, right? They won't accept, like, no disrespect to our neighbours down the road, but they won't accept that 20 passes a goal, but ultimately you get beat up. Yeah, you get physically. That's their
like
problem
that
at the moment. They can get physically dominated by teams who aren't as good as them. Right now, that is not acceptable at Cardiff City. You fans will, they'll freak out, mate. You know what I mean? Eddie saw them out. Remember those shots, Paul? when you weren't having it enough with the opposition, Eddie saw them out. The old soul crew having a proper go. You got to go in, and you know they want to see you play. Like I say, quick, decent. Good football, but you've got to be physical. You've got to have aggression in your game, and that's a Cardiff City philosophy, basically. It's understanding that and then building from top down, bottom up. Academy needs to improve, players through the academy. I'm going on
anyway. I can't add to that. No, I was gonna let you carry on.
I know. It's frustrating when you've got so many ideas in your head and you wanna see them develop at the club and you don't see them, and they're not gonna be done overnight.
But like,
well,
you said,
built in a day.
That's what the boot room is for, isn't it?
But yeah, it's, come on, man. You know, like I say, the academy we've had going for how many years now? I think Aaron was the last top quality player we've had out of there, and he's on his way to Juve.
Not bad, is it?
One of the top highest paid players in the world.
Yeah, not a bad.
Yeah. Cardiff are getting no cut.
Well,
of nothing.
I can't say any more than that, Blakey. We'll have to have a short break, and Blakey can continue.
Not that annoys me.
We'll be back with some predictions.
Got a question for Blakey? Tweet us at Cardiff City Live.
Footy 5, Blakey. Last week,
come Paul,
you got
do
a
this.
Few good.
Oh, I'll be again if I've done well.
You got a few good results this week.
I'm crap.
Let down by Crystal Palace, I have to say.
Again?
Beating Newcastle when you said a 2-0 win
for Newcastle.
Newcastle.
I just hate Crystal. Not in that bad way. I cannot predict
not,
that
you
team.
Can't read them.
No.
You can't read them. I have the same problem with Everton. Try and bet on Everton in an accumulator. And
it
never comes in.
Yeah, because they've been on great form lately.
Yeah, but that,
where does that
but
come
before
from?
That, they were terrible.
They were absolutely terrible.
Let's give you this week's Footy 5 fixtures then. Starting, well actually no, we'll finish with Burnley Cardiff. We'll start with Brighton against Bournemouth.
Oh, man. I know Brighton going to win. Bournemouth are on a terrible run. Bournemouth are on the beach, mate, as they say in football. They're in Barbados.
I think Brighton.
All right, so gone now, right? No more with my heart hoping.
All head.
Right? I'm just going to go all head, right? So Brighton, Bournemouth, at Brighton, I'm going to go 2-1 win for Brighton.
2-1 Brighton. What does your head say about Fulham against Everton?
Everton away win. 3-0.
3-0.
Maybe 4. Did you see Fulham on weekend? They are gone.
They've given up, I think.
They are gone. That is.
I've never known a
what
season
happens
where
when you
two
buy
clubs.
A load of players, it doesn't work, and now you're seeing them like they were people like not even running. They were like jogging, walking, not tackling. It was like, wow.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yeah, please do.
Southampton Wolves. Interesting one, I think. Wolves haven't done Cardiff a favour when they've needed one this season.
No, and they always lose to the lower teams.
Yeah.
And Southampton are playing well, and Wolves are off a... Oh, how gutted was I with that result?
Big FA Cup semi-final defeat.
Oh, my days. I'm going to go Southampton 1, Wolves 1.
1-1. And then down into the Championship, your old side, Sheffield United, against Millwall.
Come on, the Blades.
Got to be a home win, isn't it?
Like a greasy chip butty. Do you know that song? Yeah, well, I saw New York, yeah.
Not my wife, but yeah, go on.
Right, and Sheffield, like Reese to buddy, like Sheffield United.
Okay.
You should know that one.
She's from North Yorkshire, posh part.
Okay. I was loving it.
South Yorkshire, yeah, come on, mate.
Yeah. Sheffield United win. 1-0.
1-0, Sheffield United. So we'll all have a go at Cardiff. Burnley versus Cardiff, I should say. Starting with you, Nathan. This is your head. Are you still going head here? Or does heart come into it when it's Cardiff?
Up at Burnley.
Anything other than a win is Burnley safe, isn't it? Really? Anything other than a Cardiff win?
I think Burnley do us, to be honest with you. I don't think the fact that we've had like a 9-day rest either helps us. I think that momentum of playing and they got momentum and we haven't, I think they do us. So I'm going to go 2-0 Burnley. Sorry, Cardiff
ultra
boys.
Ultra realism.
But we can only be, I'm going just total, not heart, I'm going total head.
Paul, you're the rare sunshine in this room.
I think if Cardiff pick that team that I mentioned earlier.
Paul for manager.
I know, yeah.
Yes.
I think they can go there and shock them, but.
Paul Warnock, let's get it. Hashtag Paul Warnock.
What are you saying?
1-0 to Burnley.
After all that?
You're trying to be honest, mate.
I know.
I think Cardiff will set up the way Blakey and you say they'll set up and try and keep it tight and nick it in the last 20. And I think they'll probably lose it in the last 20.
Do you know, thinking about what you just said there, the problem is we don't have any other way. That is the problem. There is no element of surprise. If you understand what I mean.
There's no other way.
There's no other way.
Yeah, I think.
There's a Mancunian band, isn't it?
I can't remember who it is.
Monday People or whatever they're called.
Probably.
Mondays.
I only listen to bands from Manchester anyway.
Yeah.
Right, well, I've got to say for my prediction that I'm going all hearts because this is my, for the listeners' benefit, this is the last Cardiff game that I'll be covering as a journalist for Wales Online. This is my last boot room I'll be doing for Wales Online as well. So I have to go with the heart and say I really, really hope Cardiff win this and get their relegation.
Let's do it for Dom.
Back on track. Yeah.
Hashtag DID. Do it for Dom.
I cannot see that catching at all. No. I'm going to go 2-0 Cardiff. There you go.
Okay. So the day he's leaving, he at last predicts a Cardiff winner and gets off the fence.
After all those
splinters he got in his booty, finally gets off it.
Just so the listeners know, Dom has. This is Dom's last game. He's going to. He's chosen to go and cover a smaller club by writing on Manchester United. So good luck with your new job there, Dom.
Yes, good luck, Dom. Good
luck. The boot room will continue.
Of course it will be
even better.
Of course it will.
We still have the main three people on the boot room who are Blakey, Blakey's shadow, and me. But best of luck to Dom, and I'm sure Cardiff City fans will wish you the best, and thank you for your outstanding coverage of Cardiff City over the last year or so.
Yeah, it's been great getting to know you, mate.
It's been great, and
the boot room has gone to a new dimension.
Yeah, Dom. Mate, it's going to be hard to replace, mate.
Well, there you go, big seat to
and
fill.
And we thought it couldn't get better after John Dole left, and look at that.
I'm sure it will.
There you go.
I'm sure it will keep going from strength to strength.
There's a lesson for everybody, isn't it? You know, you sell a player and you think, oh, it's the end of the world, our best player. And then, lo and behold, something better comes along.
Exactly.
Look at that.
I hope it's more, I don't mean it, John. I'm sure John will be listening. But no, thank you, Boot Room listeners, for all your support. And as Paul says, the show will go on. So thanks for joining us. And I'm sure the show will be back very, very soon.